Today on Vox Talks Economics, how free online advertising killed local news. Welcome to Vox Talks Economics from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. My name's Tim Phillips. Every week we bring you the best new research in economics, so remember to subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts and follow Vox Talks Economics on Instagram as well. Now, as a young journalist starting out back in the mid-1990s, I remember that we all thought the internet was a wonderful opportunity to reach more readers for our stories. And we were right, it was. But what we didn't think about was the threat that online advertising posed to the newspaper profits that were paying our wages. Well, a quarter of a century later, it's time to take stock of what this has meant for local newspapers and for news in general. And that's exactly what a new CEPR discussion paper does. Ruben Durante of Universita Pompeu Fabra and CEPR is one of the authors. Ruben, welcome back to Vox Talks.
Hello, team. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. Now, thank you for coming along and talking about this. As I mentioned, it's something quite close to home for me. Newspapers, especially local papers, they used to have a very profitable monopoly on small ads, didn't they? How important was this for their business?
So our paper looks specifically at the United States. And, you know, when we talk about advertising, but again, our paper looks specifically at classified ads. These are the ads that you put or you use when you want to sell a car, rent an apartment, and so on.
Little tidy actually, ones, three lines each.
Yeah, and there's a phone number that you have to call and you mark it in red, probably remember. And this was actually a very lucrative niche for papers in the United States and local papers in particular. According to data from 2000, for example, classified ads accounted for over 40% of U.S. newspaper total advertising revenues. And again, advertising revenues was also the bigger part of the pie when it comes to total revenue. Mm. In that same year, it was $49 billion from advertising and only $11 billion from circulation. So it's the biggest part of the financing for most newspaper as of, again, 2000, which is the period around which the episode that we analyze in our paper starts.
Yes, and one that we never really thought about at the time. In all of this, you examined the influence of Craigslist. What's Craigslist's role in this story?
People in the US clearly know Craigslist, but around the world it's pretty developed. It's the biggest platform, online platform in the world for classified ads. They started in 95 serving the San Francisco Bay Area, and then they really spread around the globe, but especially every single media market in the United States. It's a very simple platform, very simple, minimalistic outline. They just allow people to put mostly for free classified ads, but it's a lot better than newspaper because you can put a lot of information. You can put pictures of the apartment or the car you're trying to sell or rent, and people can contact you directly through the platform. So it was a big improvement when it comes to classified ads. And so it really started to spread very quickly and people really start to use it. And the idea here is that it really disrupted this market that, as we say, was very lucrative for newspapers. People stop using ads from newspaper because, again, it was a lot inferior as an option. And so Craigslist really expanded. The nice thing about Craigslist, first of all, is it's only about classified ads. Craigslist, you can only put classified ads. If you're a car manufacturer or another company, you cannot advertise on Craigslist. And again, it's mostly for free. And there's also no other content. It's not news content or anything. They only compete on that specific segment, which is classified ads. So from the point of view of the researcher, it's a nice experiment because it creates competition for one source of your revenue, leaving many other aspects of the newspaper market or the media market, if you wish, untouched. We're not the first researchers. There have been other people that look at the introduction of Craigslist for all sort of other outcomes. But again, from the point of view of understanding how competitive pressure on newspaper affects the different outcomes we'll talk about, it's a very good episode.
But there were other sources of these small ads as well online. Is there anything in particular about Craigslist's expansion in the US that would make it a good source of data for an economist?
Yeah, indeed. One of the nice features that I was mentioning was that they started in one area and then they gradually, it was a kind of a scatter introduction, they gradually expanded to different type of markets. And the other thing is also related with the personality of the founder. The founder of Craigslist was really this, you can say, very peculiar individual. He was aiming to serve the community. The company never went public. The guy could have clearly become a billionaire, but decided not to. So there was also this interesting aspect of the scattering production, so the timing, but also this not-for-profit is maybe a little too much, but not-profit maximization was not the main motive. They only served the classified ads. So from the point of view of a newspaper, it was only one source of your income, of your revenues that was affected, but not the others. We exploit that because we have information on some proxy for how much a newspaper relied on classified ads before the entry of Craigslist. So the idea is really we can compare newspapers even in the same area. Once Craigslist arrived, if you relied heavily on classified ads before, that's a big shock for you. It's going to affect your main source of livelihood in some way. If you did not rely on classified ads, it is a big deal, but not as threatening for your survival. So we're also going to explore variation across newspapers.
For this to be clean, though, Ruben, you'd have to know that when Craigslist showed up in a local market, it had nothing to do with the profitability or the strength of local newspapers. From what you're saying, it sounds like that's a pretty fair assumption.
Yeah, and indeed, I mean, we don't have to make this assumption. We can test this hypothesis where you're saying it's entirely right. And we can test it because we have information on the specific characteristics of the counties in which Craigslist entered before and after. So we can just do a, what economists call a balance test. And we find some interesting things. The first thing is that, indeed, the timing of the entry of Craigslist is related to two variables in particular, the size of the population and the quality of internet service. This is, makes sense because, again, for this public service mission, you want to enter markets first, places where you can serve more people, but also where those people have access to internet. Otherwise, that can't really fly. But once you control for that, there are few other variables such as education and share of people that rent and income per capita. They're somewhat related with the timing, but then a bunch of other variables that are completely balanced. There are things like the share of urban population or the unemployment rate, age, the share of white, black, and Hispanic, political turnout, and all the type of, as you were mentioning, in particular, all the type of newspaper outcomes, such as circulation and the number of, you know, newsroom staff and so on, that tend to be completely unrelated with the timing, which give us, in some way, reassurance that the timing was not strategically determined. I would enter first in places where newspapers are struggling versus newspapers are doing well and so on. So we're confident that that is not the case. And there was a strategy there, but the strategy was really trying to reach as many people as possible that could use the internet.
So what happened then, Ruben? Did Craigslist force newspapers to close?
So we don't find any evidence of that. Our main source of information when it comes to newspaper, we have digitized this 15 years of data from the editor and publisher news book, which you can think as a census of US daily newspapers. So for every year, we know what are the newspapers that are, you know, active in the any given market, and we know also the number of each individual that works in these newspapers. So one thing that we can look at, the first thing we look at is whether the number of active newspaper in a given market after Craigslist enter diminishes or increases, how it varies. And we find no evidence that the mere entry of Craigslist affects the number of newspaper. What we do find, however, is that the number of people employed by the newspaper goes down. There is significant evidence that following the entry of Craigslist, local newspaper cut staff. And again, in some way, reassuringly, we find that this effect, this trend, is primarily driven actually by newspaper that before the entry of Craigslist relied heavily on classified ads. These are the newspapers that are most vulnerable in some way to this new competitor. And so not surprisingly, they lose more from competition from Craigslist, and they have to do something. And part of this is cutting staff and rethinking their business model overall.
Do we know which staff got downsized in this change, Ruben?
Actually, we know because, as I mentioned, this data that we have are very detailed when it comes to what people are employed by every single newspaper, what's their job title, so what area they, you know, they work on. So we find, first of all, that the staff cuts affect both what we can call administrative positions versus editorial positions. So both of them are affected. And when it comes to editorials, we can look at the job titles and we know whether you are national news editor versus local news, as opposed to crime, as opposed to sports or entertainment and so on. So we can look at that. And we find that the cuts affected disproportionately editorial staff that was working on politics, either local politics or national politics and so on, while other areas such as entertainment or sports, again, always based on these job titles, were not affected as much or affected at all. So there seems to be this decision by newspaper, when I face financial difficulties, I have to decide how much I cut and what to cut. And there seems to be that politics, particularly local politics, but also national politics, was kind of the easy target, while other areas, sports, entertainment, and so on, were not.
Did this affect the reporting then from those newspapers?
We try to understand how these changes in staff and these staff cuts affect also news content. So what we do, two things. We work with these very large databases of articles on a very large sample of US newspaper. And first of all, we perform a bunch of keyword searches, try to understand, for example, one very important aspect is how coverage of local politicians, particularly when it comes to local representatives, how many articles feature the name of local representatives or local senators or the president and so on and so forth. And again, we do find a significant decline in the news coverage of local politicians. When I say local, I mean the representative elected in Washington to represent the local constituency. Okay, so we do find evidence that the number of articles decreases. We also find a substantial evidence, everything related to politics. We estimate a topic model. This is some text analysis techniques that economists are increasingly using on a sample of 2 million articles. And we do find in places after Craigslist entered, newspapers that were disproportionately affected by that, the coverage of politics in general tend to decline. While again, other areas, crime, entertainment, and so on, are not affected. So it seems that the cuts in staff are reflected also in a corresponding change in content.
There is an argument about this, isn't there, that the decline of local news, it's often framed as readers not becoming less informed about these topics. It's they're replacing traditional news with alternative online news sources. Do you have any insight into that?
Yeah, in fact, we were interested in this because, again, the fact that you read less on your local papers could be completely countered by you reading more online and so on. So we have very nice data from different type of surveys, some more political surveys, some more like marketing-based surveys and so on. And so we can see whether in areas where Craigslist enter, after the entry of Craigslist, how people readership changes. First of all, we look at administrative data on circulation, so the actual number of copies of newspaper, and we do find a decline. But these surveys include questions asking people, do you read more news, you know, online, or you listen more news on the radio? And we don't find any evidence of this. So it seems that readership of your local paper is going down, again, following the impoverishment and the restructuring of your newspaper and the subsequent change in content. But again, you don't compensate for this by reading more online. So that suggests you may become less informed overall.
We've covered a few times the changes in political beliefs during this period and following this period that you're talking about here. Do we have any evidence that this has been tied to changing political beliefs in the people who've been reading this news?
Our last goal was kind of to map all the chain of events, right? From the organization of newspaper, staff, content, and the readership, and ultimately politics. So one thing we were looking at is turnout. We find some evidence, but it's not completely clear whether turnout goes down. A couple of results that we find, which I think is interesting, is it really relates to the issue of political polarization. So again, people have less information about politics, especially about local candidates. So we were thinking, okay, what could be the consequence of that? And the consequence of that, potentially, and consistent with what we find, is that you rely more on ideological cues, kind of partisan cues, which in the United States are primarily determined at the national level. And we find two pieces of evidence consistent with this story. The first one is higher support for extreme candidates, both on the left, but especially on the right. The other thing, there is some electoral outcome that you can look at in the US, which we call split voting. Split voting is the tendency of local voters to vote for, say, the Republican candidate for presidential election, but then voting for the Democratic candidate for the representative, the election of the representative or senator. This suggests that you don't necessarily abide by party lines, but you have an open mind as to the way you view candidates and parties. And we do find that, again, in places where after Craigslist arrived, in those places, people tend to split their vote less. Okay, so again, these two results are consistent with people becoming more ideological and kind of following their party platform more blindly. And that, again, makes sense. If you know less about the candidates they're running, then you tend to follow your simple ideological cues. I usually vote Republican, so I'm going to vote Republican in all the races. or Democrat on the other side. So there seems to be this ultimate effect on political polarization or ideological polarization, if you wish.
Free internet advertising, this is certainly how Craig, who created Craigslist, thought of it, is we think of it as a benefit to our communities. These unintended consequences in your research seem to be telling a different story. How serious do you think this is?
So first of all, just to be honest, our paper does not include a welfare analysis that puts together what you are suggesting. On the one hand, we're super happy of having Craigslist. We don't have to, again, circle these horrible ads with a red pen and call each of this person to try to buy their car. So that's a private, if you wish, benefit. On the other hand, as a community, we need to be informed about what happens, you know, at the local level, but also at the national level. We need to be able to have information about who are we electing or the behavior of those politicians, keeping them accountable. You know, and clearly, local newspaper, and there's plenty of evidence of that, play a crucial role in providing this information to people. And the impoverishment of newspapers in general, but again, local newspaper in particular, can really have consequences on their ability to provide this information. There was this model in mind that people had that newspaper would sell advertising, and that advertising would basically subsidize the production of news and investigative journalism and good quality reporting and so on and so forth. And it seems like competition from online platform could potentially break that type of system. So we could be basically left with newspaper not being able to do their job as before. And I think the problem is that if local newspaper don't do that job, no one will. The money, if you wish, the money are going to these online platforms. You can think of Craigslist, but you can also think of Google and Facebook and so on and so forth. But these are not media companies. And they make sure that, you know, they're not media companies. They do not provide necessarily content. They're very good at spreading that information. But there is plenty of evidence that show that the lion's share of original content is still produced by newspapers in general and local newspapers in particular. And so if you cut kind of the bloodline, if you cut the funding to that type of enterprise, you may be left with less original content to spread. We don't have a welfare analysis that tells you that the first effect is bigger than the second or vice versa, but I think we do provide some kind of rigorous evidence as the second part of the story happening, and potentially that also relates to some discussion and concern raised by policymakers, particularly the FCC in the United States, about how the dire financial situation of local newspaper may affect pluralism and political accountability and so on. So I think our paper speaks in that direction without obviously negating the wonderful opportunities that online services such as Craigslist provide to consumers.
Well, it is a fascinating piece of research, Ruben. Thank you very much.
Tim, it was my pleasure. Thank you for your interest.
Clearly I'm biased, but I think this is a very interesting paper. It is DP 16130, and its title is The Impact of Online Competition on Local Newspapers, Evidence from the Introduction of Craigslist. The authors are Milena Juralova, Ruben Durante, and Gregory Martin. This has been a Vox Talk from the Center for Economic Policy Research. Every week we bring you the most important latest research. If you want to know what you're going to be reading in journals 18 months from now, well, listen to Vox Talks Economics today. And there's 12 years of Vox Talks Economics at voxeu.org/vox-talks.